Welcome to DDG episode 12. I believe that's right. I had to type it like six times, but episode 12. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by somewhat healthy Michael Swick.
I don't know. This is day seven of what I believe is the flu. I am healthy enough. Healthy enough to be a co-host.
That doesn't really have a very high standard, though.
No, it doesn't at all. We're only 12 episodes in. Yes. So it's a perfect time for me to get sick.
All right. Just because of some winter weather that we both got yesterday and some funky work schedules, we are recording a day later than normal. But as usual, whenever we decide to record late, stuff happens. So it seems to be in our favor. Maybe Mondays are just better for us. So we'll see what the future holds with that. We are Digital Days Gaming. We are a podcast about all of the gaming platforms that are out there. If there's something cool going on in the gaming world, we definitely want to know about it, talk about it, esports, Twitch, streaming, any of those things. And we try to give you guys our opinions, and I think that we're going to have a lot of news stories that we're going to have a lot of opinions about today. So I think we're going to have a really good episode, which is great because I didn't really get to play a lot. But you can, if you're listening for the first time, please consider subscribing to our podcast on whatever podcast network you have found us on, or if you're watching us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. Thank you for hanging out. Go ahead and drop a follow. That's free. If you have Amazon Prime and you want to link it with your Twitch Prime account, you can use a free sub. If you want to use that on us, that would be greatly appreciated. And you can also watch the show on YouTube, youtube.com/digitaldaysgaming. A little bit behind on that right now, trying to work on some kinks, and you know, with the Twitch affiliation, being able to pull the past broadcast over to YouTube helps tremendously. So just trying to get a little bit more on the YouTube schedule. We fell off of it a little bit when we had 1 or 2 weeks that we didn't live stream. So big goal for 2020 is to grow the YouTube content as well as growing the podcast. And you guys can help us grow all of our content, but just by sharing it. We have a Patreon if that's something you choose, just patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming. Just updated it. There's some cool tiers in there for, you know, 24-hour early access to the audio version of the podcast. But the biggest thing that we would love to see from you guys is just sharing the show with your friends, sharing it on social media, and joining our community. So, you know, on Facebook, you can like the page, facebook.com/digitaldaysgaming. You can also just search Digital Days Gaming and Facebook groups and join the group. Had a handful of you guys join this week. Thank you, guys. It was awesome conversations, questions, community, things going on in the Facebook group, and it's really cool. And then Discord as well. We'll add Discord to the show notes, so the link will be that for there. And again, as a Patreon supporter, you can have access to a private channel in our Discord server. All right, so I'm going to throw it over to Michael for something that I think that we're going to talk about some length about.
Yeah, first bit of news is Microsoft. Pretty much, we kind of knew this going into the next gen, but the Xbox Series X won't have an exclusive to that gen game the first 1 to 2 years out. Which means any Microsoft first-party game coming to the Xbox Series X will also come to the Xbox One as well. So current-gen and next-gen will have the same games for the first year. They said 1 to 2 years, most likely that means just launch year, and then going into year two is then when we'll start seeing exclusive to that gen games. This has been really a hot topic on the internet the last couple of days. It's been kind of crazy. I didn't think it was that big a deal.
I think there's a little bit of misconception based on, like, again, just taking a quote out of context as well.
Definitely some of that, but this is a very consumer-friendly move, and a lot of the audience is taking it as an anti-consumer-friendly move. But it's this Microsoft just trying to make sure people buy as much of their content that can buy their content that's possible. But yeah, this is pretty big for them. Now this puts the ball in Sony's court in terms of what they're going to do when it comes to exclusives. It's tricky, though, because we're talking about the next generation of consoles that's going to be backwards compatible. And we're not having, the biggest leap in technology from one gen to the other. So there's a lot of reasons for Microsoft and Sony if Sony wanted to go this route to do this. But what are your thoughts? What are your hot takes?
They've already set the expectation with a lot of games on Games Pass working on PC that these things that are coming out, they automatically have to develop for both. Like, it's, you know, they have to make it run on PC and they have to make it run on Xbox, whatever. Versus Sony, when Sony makes a God of War, or they're building it just for the PlayStation hardware. So like, this isn't like, I don't think this is like an unexpected move. I think them coming out and publicly saying it is a little weird, because it's just kind of one of those things where maybe you just kind of let it happen and let people kind of realize that. But again, like, Microsoft has been laying this groundwork for the last year or so of the focus on software and services. And in order for that to function correctly, then you still have to continue to produce software content. This move is a consumer-friendly move, but it also is risky because it's giving people less of a reason to buy the next-gen console right now.
Right now, but long-term, it's most likely not going to matter. But, I mean, they kind of put themselves in a situation, though, because when they announced Halo Infinite, like, 2 years ago, they said it was coming to the Xbox One X. Mm-hmm. So they locked themselves in there. And I'm wondering if this new story is one of those things that they're not going to have a lot of first-party games coming out the first year anyways, so it doesn't really matter that they're both going to be, or that they're going to be on both platforms.
Right, but so doesn't this pretty much guarantee that Hellblade 2 is going to run on 1X hardware?
Yes, because this is what they're saying, so that'll
Do you feel like that's going to hold the game's potential back?
I mean, we're talking about, like, the difference between these consoles, just kind of like when PS3 to PS4, where we're most likely just getting, like, better resolution, better frame rate. We're not getting, like, generation-defying mechanics added to it because of that extra hardware. So, I don't think I will, or at least in the first year, we're not going to see any games held back because they're on both gens, especially launch games. Launch games are always, like, the shakiest games each generation. So, we're not going to see anything groundbreaking happen on a launch, you know, the launch year anyways. We're not going to see the really big stuff until, like, if you look at this generation alone, towards the end of this generation, we got, you know, God of War, which is probably groundbreaking. We're going to get Last of Us Part 2. The groundbreaking stuff doesn't happen until mid to end cycle anyways, so there's no real loss because the launch year is going to be on both generations of hardware.
And I think all the upgrades can be built into it based on if your hardware can support it. So, You can get a console that can run a 4K thing, but that doesn't matter unless you have a 4K display. Mm-hmm. So then the hardware reads that. PlayStation Pro reads that now. Reads it, you know, PlayStation 4 original reads it if you have an HDR TV or not. It knows if you do or don't, and then you can go in and turn those things on. So I think that with the Series X, you will be able to put Halo Infinite in, and you'll be able to click and turn certain settings on, or certain settings will be automatically turned on just based on whether you have that functionality or not. Like, it'll read it through the HDMI cable or whatever port you're using to play the game through. And it just means that there will be ways that this stuff works. What I think is interesting, though, is something like Godfall, which I believe they've actually said has PlayStation 5 exclusivity.
Something like that.
So I wonder if this is a factor into that, because does that mean if it's a year, does that mean that maybe that this company wanted to make something that only runs on certain hardware, and that, you know, like, maybe they couldn't come to that agreement with Microsoft, because Microsoft's like, we don't, pretty much what Microsoft is saying right now, at least from their exclusive standpoint, is they don't want
Series X only games. So this is almost like another iteration on, even though it's called Series X, this is almost another iteration on the Xbox One line. Because they want the stuff to still work.
But the people worried that this is going to hold back gaming on next gen, having to compensate for the old gen. PC gaming has had to live with this forever. You know, the max recommendations, minimum recommendations. When you develop a game for PC, you have to develop for the lowest common denominator, and that could be any sort of combination of, you know, hardware. So it hasn't really affected PC gaming in the long run, having to worry about all these different machines. So I don't feel like 1 year on the Xbox Series X is going to be like that big a deal in the long term, or even, you know, in the short term with those games. Halo Infinite probably doesn't have any like groundbreaking shit in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of goes back to the question I asked you a couple weeks ago when they announced the Series X, is what, you know, like with the studios that they've acquired and how soon that or how recently they acquired them, less than a year ago. And then your console coming out 18 months after you acquired these studios, like, they're not going to be, they're obviously not going to be ready in the first year.
Yeah.
So, like,
which is why you do this.
Right. And, you know, the Halo franchise, I feel like that, you know, maybe they, you know, the delay, I don't know if any of it's been delayed or anything like that, but, you know, maybe Halo 6 was supposed to be on Xbox One. And now it's like, okay, well, it's going to be too close. So now let's just release it on both. Just like every Ubisoft game next year will be.
Yeah, every Ubisoft game will be,
Madden, on a new platform. I don't know if we're going to get two SKUs of Madden. Like, are we going to really get two different discs? Or are we just going to get a game that performs differently depending on which system you put it in?
Yeah, no, it's going to be the same Madden.
Yeah, but, or Call of Duty, or Assassin's Creed, or, you know, and I know Assassin's Creed is a Ubisoft game, but... But I don't think that, you know, like, they want Xbox Games Pass to be the Netflix of gaming, and it's getting there more and more and more and more every day, every month. And that, in order for that to continue, like, there's the value on it, is that, like, now they can sit there and say, with Series X, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 might run at a better frame rate.
Yeah.
You know, or it might have a better connection, or these games will just look prettier, which is not a problem. And I don't have a Pro. Like, I had a PlayStation. I still have my launch one. I've never felt the need to upgrade to, because I don't have the displays. I don't have the, you know, I'd be happy if every game could come out now, right now in 2020, and it's 60 frames per second, 1080p, consistently.
Yeah, and that's what we're still hoping these next generation consoles are going to be able to do.
Right. So, for me to have something not, you know, and again, I've learned a lot of this from PC, like to run at 300 hertz and, you know, or 1440 hertz and, you know, 90 frames per second and 4K, like, I don't have any display to support that.
You just hurt someone's brain by just throwing those numbers out in the wrong areas, but yeah. No, but I agree. Like, if they said this was going to be the thing going forward with the next generation, then I'd be worried this next generation's pointless, but I'm okay with 1 year. And they say 1 to 2 years because that's them trying to be nice about it. Just like, you know, Sony's like, oh, we have a 10-year game plan, and then the 7th year we pull out new consoles. But don't worry, those next 3 years, full support. It's just like, no, it's not full support. You know, eventually stuff stops coming, and they limp to 10 years. Microsoft saying like, oh, 1 to 2 years. It's just like, no, it's going to be 1 year, if 1 year. And then second year two starts, they're just going to be like, oh, yep, no, we're done. Sorry, guys.
I mean, it's not one of our stories, and it's not a ding on the PS3 at all when I say this, but Last of Us won PlayStation's Game of the Decade, and that was on previous gen hardware. It's not because it ran beautiful and ran at, you know, certain frames per second and all that stuff. It's because it was a compelling story with interesting gameplay.
Yeah, and it came out early in the decade.
Yeah. So I feel like as long as your games run well and the gameplay is there, that's more important than if I can, you know, see, you know, 60 meters in the distance and see a leaf move. It's fine. It helps validate, you know, my opinion of what I may or may not be picking up at launch this holiday. And it's not because, like, there's anything wrong with the Xbox, but they're choosing not to solely release their software on only one platform, and Sony releases their software on one platform.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about the future in 2020. Let's jump to the next story. It's funny, we were just talking about E3 just a little bit ago, a couple days ago over text. So everyone was trying to figure out, after last year, what Sony would do going into the next generation after they announced that they weren't going to be at E3 2019. A lot of people just expected them to take the year off because they didn't really have a lot to show, and then come back E3 2020 super hard. They announced today that they are going to skip E3 2020. Their exact quote, this was given to GameIndustry.biz. After thorough evaluation, SIE has decided not to participate in E3 2020. We have great respect for the ESA as an organization, but we do not feel the vision of E3 2020 is the right venue for what we are focused on this year. We will build upon our global event strategy in 2020 by participating in hundreds of consumer events across the globe. Our focus is to making sure fans feel part of the PlayStation family and have access to play their favorite content. We have a fantastic lineup for titles coming to the PS4, and we have an upcoming launch of PlayStation 5. We are truly looking forward to the year of celebration with our fans. So, Dave, I ask you, is there an E3 2021?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think, because we found out a couple months ago that E3 2020 is going to be revamped with new activation areas, with more celebrity and influencer content, and it sounds like they're still scrambling to figure out their new identity in a world where they don't have Sony at their show, and will probably continue to not have Microsoft, who will just do their thing across the street.
See, I don't consider Microsoft not at E3. Like, I'm sorry. I just consider E3 to be bigger than the convention center now.
Yeah, but it's definitely, like, people go for, like, because you have the E3 badge, I don't think you can just get into the Microsoft thing.
You can't.
You can?
Okay. You cannot.
Okay. So, like, the E3 show floor itself last year was pretty barren, with a lot of energy drink booths.
I think that has more to do with opening to the public than it has to do with Sony not being there.
But it was a big part of that hall was missing because Sony wasn't there.
What, Spider-Man Call of Duty in a VR booth? Come on.
Well, that's because over the last couple years, they've kind of stepped away from E3. In each year, it was like less and less.
Because it's,
like,
they wanted open to the public and they can't control the environment.
Yeah, and now they're not coming back. Yeah. And E3...
Because it didn't hurt them. Like,
no, it didn't hurt them. It hurt E3.
Yeah, and that's fine. And E3 is trying to readjust and realign what they want to do. And they're choosing to continue to be open to the public. And until they choose not to do that, then it's going to not change. And I'm not saying, like, oh, the public needs to, you know, not be there. Like, whatever they want to do or however they want to do it is up to them. But in terms of if you want to make something an exclusive type event, then you have to control who gets to go there or not. I was thinking about this a lot today, even a little bit on my drive home from work. So you look at a company, and I mean, I hate to compare everything, but you look at a company like Ubisoft, okay? In previous trips that I've taken with Ubisoft, I always wonder, like, really? Like, you know, even when we worked at other places, like,
We weren't at we didn't come from like the IGN and the game in the GameStops or GameSpots and Games Radar like other worlds. Like, we weren't these humongous sites that we came from, but we still had the ability to go check out these events where they would fly you or they'd fly me out to Los Angeles, San Francisco. I've been to Seattle. And I would get put in a hotel, and then I'd go to a venue that they reserved, and I would sit there and play a game for 6 hours, and I would leave, and I would have 3 weeks to write about it, or to talk about it, or make videos on it. And that, but they were able to control the environment from the beginning. Like, we got emails prior to it about what we were going to see, what the date of the embargo was, what we were allowed to do when we got to the event, what we weren't allowed to do when we got to the event. We had coaches behind us during the event. If something crazy happened, like, hey, that's not supposed to happen. Like, they controlled the entire environment. And I bet you that was still cheaper than going to E3.
Oh, for sure.
And they get full control of that environment. Or nowadays, you can just do their, like, when Sony runs their state of play, or when, you know, Bungie does a like a live stream for a Destiny season reveal, or, you know, Ubisoft does their Division state of game weekly show, thousands of people turn these things on and watch them. And it doesn't cost them going to Los Angeles and renting a booth and doing all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The way that the media, the way that the consumers consume media has changed.
Yeah, which is why E3 this year seems like BSA seems like they're definitely scrambling to figure out some new gimmick or to be a public event that can still entertain both beasts of being a public event and then also being right. like a media hub.
Because
they might need to pick.
It's a no-win for Sony. So if you and I went to E3 and... like, what would Sony put on the floor in June when their system's coming out in November? Like, what were they going to put on the floor? They're going to let you play PS5? Hell no.
Yeah, I think the big thing people are, you know, were hoping for was a press conference. But like you just said, there's no reason for them to do that. State of Plays, Nintendo Directs.
Yeah.
Defeat the point of doing a press conference. It's just kind of a shame to watch E3 kind of deteriorate over the last couple of years. We haven't even talked about how they, you know, like, doxed everyone that attended. And
yeah.
That means coverage this year is going to be a little weird to see how they handle that, who still goes, you know, all sorts of shit like that. Because a lot of important people got doxed, so some of those people, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't trust them enough to come back to E3.
Yeah. Like, what would happen if CD Projekt Red announced today that we're doing a live stream reveal for Cyberpunk 2077, sorry, tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time?
Yeah, it'd break the internet, and they wouldn't have to share the spotlight, yeah.
So why did they need to fly from Poland to Los Angeles?
They don't. It's just one of those scenes where it's just... Sadly, it's because E3 was already an established thing, so people feel they need to go.
Michael, like you used to have to spin a phone dial, too, when you dialed. You used to have to use
a rotary phone. Oh, yeah, no, it's all arbitrary, like, bullshit, but it's just, like, it's the song and dance that the industry's so used to. Like, we went to E3 last year, and it was a very different show than it had been in the past.
But I still don't think it was bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all, yeah. Just because we were able to just do our own thing, and we figured out stuff, and did time management to make the most of it, which, if we go to this year, we'll probably do the same thing. It'll probably be a decent show for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
Yeah, because now we have, like, three other platforms we can cover.
yeah. No longer will we be like, oh, no, it's not coming to that, or I can't talk to you anymore, I don't want to waste your time.
So I mean, I just like I get it, like, and I understand, but I still, with everything I just said, there's nothing that replaces, at least from a media standpoint, that will ever replace face to face contact.
Yeah.
Whoever that was with, you know, people putting names to faces, us putting names to faces, and all that stuff. Yeah, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on, but you know, like. Being able to like put a new set of Turtle Beach headphones on, going to the Astro appointment, like hardware is different, and you know, like there was a lot of hardware appointments that we had. There still are some mid-tier developers that this is the only time that they get to show their game to a large mass of people. because mm-hmm. they can't afford to fly somebody to suburban Kansas City to check out their game.
Yeah. So
it's changing, but it's not.
Yeah, it's changing. It's probably going to be for the best. E3 definitely needs to, or the ESA needs to figure out exactly what they want the show to be. Everything they have said has kind of scared me. But it's also, I'm 30. I might not be the demographic that they want anymore. You know, like when they talk about their activation is gaining attention of brands and, you know, they want to connect with like influencers and all that shit. Like, you know, maybe at 30, I'm already getting aged out. So E3 2022, 2023 isn't going to be aimed at me. It's going to be aimed at the TikTok generation, you know? So.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, a lot of the booths that I saw at E3, and they were all, like, broadcasting live from E3, whether, you know, they were interviewing people, and, like, people were taking their games to them to show, you know, whether it was kind of funny, or whether it was games, who is that company? GameSpot? Yeah. Right? GameSpot? Yeah.
You know, yes.
Yeah, doing a bunch of those, their live shows. Even when Sony was there, they were doing their live shows of like showing stuff off for the people that couldn't be there. So the focus was, I always like the show floor never felt like the focus was on the people on the floor. It was always on the people that couldn't be there. That element has been removed by allowing the public in now.
Yeah. But man, hopefully as they, you know, try and be more public friendly, they find more shit for people to do in the public, because people I know that did attend as a fan weren't really happy with the show. And a lot of the old media people weren't happy with the show, but like you said, like me and you had a pretty good time last year. We were able to make it work. But we're all still pretty new to this whole thing, so we're not set in our ways.
More than likely, if Digital Days goes to E3, which is very up in the air at the moment, I don't think we'd stay the whole week.
No. There's like no
48-hour thing, you know?
Yeah. It's no longer the... I mean, they want it to be a week-long thing, but it's not anymore. It really isn't.
Even if the ESA wants it to be something that has, like, these huge groundbreaking things, developers don't. Why... We've always heard, like, even if you like read books or listens to people or read interviews that they talk about, like, we took out this vertical slice just to make it, just to show it at E3, like the pressure and the stress that E3 caused on those developers versus, hey, you know what, it's not going to be ready for E3, let's not go, let's show it in August when we can show it right.
Yeah, because you get a lot of times that's where you run into a situation where these companies announce a game way too early because they needed something to show.
We heard about it with Anthem. EA forced them to show some kind of trailer. And they had like a month to put that trailer together.
Yeah, with mechanics they didn't know would be in the final game. And then turned out they were popular enough.
We've heard Nintendo doing something and wanting to make a bang. Said, hey, we're going to make a new Smash Brothers and so-and-so is going to direct the game. And when we find out later that he said, I found out at that moment that I was directing the game.
Oh, no, that was Final Fantasy.
I thought it was for Smash as well.
No, I think Sakurai always knew he was going to be doing Smash, but it was the Final Fantasy VII remake. I think it was Nomura. He didn't know he was, like, on that game until it was, like, a trailer popped up.
Yeah, so it's just like you hear about all this crazy stuff versus, you know, and then it leaves you with more questions. Like, but again, like, in the same situation, like, what is Microsoft going to show in June? They have a theater across the hall from the Staples Center, which is right next to the convention center. Are they going to let people play Series X? Probably now, because the stuff you can play is just going to look better on Series X.
I totally expect the Series X to be playable. That'll be the first time you can touch the controller. And probably most of the games that they just announced at I forgot what it was called, XO 2019, that stuff mm-hmm. will probably be playable.
So, I mean,
they'll have stuff. They have so many studios now, they'll have stuff. But it's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it just turns into, like, hey, we have a theater with 100 Halo Infinites running.
But again, Sony's winning, so like they don't need to come out of the gate swinging. I mean, like, to give it a sports reference, they can have like these terrible, and I'm not saying that Microsoft is terrible, but they can have these terrible teams sitting at the table talking to this free agent, you know, in trying to convince him to come to play for Detroit or play for Chicago or play for, you know, Atlanta. And then the Yankee guy walks into the room and sets the briefcase down and shoves it across the table with $100 million on it. And the player takes it.
Yeah.
Sony is the Yankees right now. So in terms of, they'll just walk into the room when they're ready, and they'll open up their suitcase and show what they want to show when they want to show it.
Yeah, and no, I mean, just look at every time they've revealed just a little nugget and how easily that's just taken over the internet. Sony is going to be pretty casual. They said they're going to like hundreds of events, but I don't know what exactly that means.
There's only 365 days in a year, so are you committing to a third of the year showing off your console?
I mean, they already do the PlayStation truck where that goes to, like, festivals during the summer, so you've probably got, like, 20 or 30 events just there, but it'll just be showing off PS4 stuff. There was a rumor that, excuse me, that there's a PlayStation thing going in New York next month. Like, it's a bunch of different events happening leading up to one specific day, so we might, you know,
we're getting out really close to somebody not leaking an invitation, if that's true.
In terms of
the time frame.
Yeah,
plus like February 5th or something.
Something like that, where it's like a bunch of like little tiny things for the, I think, the anniversary, like the 25th anniversary, and people are like circling that last day of like, oh, this must be the reveal event. And then GDC is coming in March, so there's another place that they could do that, especially as GDC is where they're, you know, probably pitch developers that don't have dev kits already for the PS5, like, hey, here's our platform, please make games for it, even though it's really like, here's our platform, you're making fucking games for this, because, you know, people are going to want to buy the PS5. Especially, like you mentioned, Sony's on fire right now. Like, there's the stuff last week where they revealed the PS5 logo, and like, it was like one of the most liked things on Instagram, even though it's the most basic.
Well, and logo. it's also the factor of the exclusivity, because they'll have two or three, maybe four launch games that are exclusive to PS5, and then you start going a little farther out and you get MLB 21, you know, which
that'll be on Xbox.
Maybe. No, I don't know if it's going to be by next year.
They said, yeah, it's 2021. Okay. Be the first time it's next gen.
Yeah,
or
so,
like multiple.
Yeah, multi-platform. But then, you know, you've still got some of these studios. Like, we don't know what Insomniac is doing. We don't know what Bend is very early on, probably. You know, Sony Santa Monica has had a couple, about a year or a year and a half off to be working, evidently, probably on another God of War iteration. There's a lot of studios that have been, you know, relatively quiet, and we also know that Sony likes to pay for exclusivity as well, even from a third-party studio. So, like, that's what they use Bluepoint for, to clean up some of the, you know, to make some of their other games. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear about some relationship with Sony and another studio making an exclusive game for PlayStation 5. They've already doing something with Godfall. Like, that's one of many, I would assume.
And
right now, with, you know, in terms of today, the difference between what's gonna be able to be playable on Series X and what's gonna be playable on PS5 that you can't play on either one, right now the answer is Godfall. And for me, as a live service gamer right now, that's already teetering in the direction of PS5 for me.
Mm-hmm. But you're also a PC gamer now, so. But I know what you mean.
But I can play it on there.
Yep.
I can't play it on Xbox.
I guess we'll find out a little bit more about Sony's plans in the next couple weeks, especially with GDC coming up, and then hopefully we'll figure out what's going on with the ESA, like exactly what E3 is going to mean, just because they usually open registration up for that middle to end of January, So we'll get more of an idea of what's going on.
We'll know the state of E3 based on how fast we get approved to go.
Yeah, yeah. If 13 episodes in, we get approved, we'll know, like, ooh, they need people to come. But yeah, that's it. That's it for the news.
Okay. All right. What we're playing and watching. I just got off a 5-day stretch at work, and I still had a little bit of the sickness going through the house, so I didn't really get to play a lot of stuff. My wife and I watched a little bit more of Clone Wars. I was home. I played a little bit of Destiny, just because I didn't really feel like doing anything. It's super taxing. I streamed a little bit of Destiny, just messing around at the end of the holiday event. By the way, Michael Tom on Twitter of baking cookies for grandma was a Destiny reference.
Yeah, I figured that after I sent the image. Destiny's really stupid.
So, just messing around with that a little bit, like leveling up the season pass. They're getting a lot of crap this week because they released a quote-unquote exotic quest that involved running an activity once and then finding 10 images on a crucible map, or 10 things that you, like, went and picked up something off 10 dead red jacks, and there was some really cool, like, actual in-game lore in the game. So, like, they're in that damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. The community complains. It was for an exotic sidearm. The community complains that they have to run around and get, like, 200 kills with a sidearm for a quest, that they do this meaningless fetch quest stuff. So they decide to make it shorter, substantially shorter, but have some of the coolest conversations that they've ever had in the game between some of the NPC characters. And people still were complaining about how short the quest was. And I'm like, it's just, like, come on. And the gun's fun. Like, it's just, stop trying to make Destiny more than what it is. Just a fun game to shoot people in the head and get cool stuff. That's all that game is to me. I watched, I don't know why, because I feel like I had an inner Michael moment where I was just putzing around on Netflix. And Benchwarmers 2 was on Netflix. And it was bad. But nobody was home. It was like a Tuesday afternoon. And it was like an hour and a half movie. Just, it had some funny moments in it. It's just one of those. It's what I call like a stupid funny movie. I'm glad I didn't really technically pay for it. It was just on Netflix. But it was funny. It had some interesting, hilarious moments in it. But other than that, it wasn't a big deal. So.
See, I like the first Benchwarmers, and I also saw that in my Netflix queue, but I didn't watch it because I was just like, this is going to be bad. This is going to be a real bad experience.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was just kind of one of those things where I was tired. I figured I would put it on, and I thought I'd fall asleep because I hadn't been sleeping very good through the week, and I didn't. So I actually finished the whole thing. But not a whole lot of different stuff going on, so.
Yeah, sorry. I had a mute a couple seconds for coughing. Yeah, so I've had the flu for about a week now, which has been fun as hell. Because every day it's been like another symptom that's like, oh, is this the symptom taking me to the hospital? But luckily I was stubborn enough and got through it. It sucks though, because I had to go to work sick a couple times. I actually got a couple days off in a row that were just ruined by being sick. I have like one more day off, and I'm hoping that is my healthy day, so I can at least have one day where I'm actually mostly healthy. So I was pretty bad to where I couldn't even look at any screens or concentrate on any games, really. I did play the Switch just because I didn't turn on my PS4 or my PC for like the entire week because I was sick. But on the Switch, redownloaded Tetris 99, because needed something to play that was, like, simple. So I played Tetris 99, didn't win any games, but played that and re-fell in love with it. They added a bunch of, like, extra content that you have to pay for, because it was a free-to-play game when it came out, or it was free if you had Nintendo Online. Didn't dabble too much in the paid stuff. But it's like offline mode and shit like that, but whatever. Made it to the final boss in Earth Knight, but didn't get it. Didn't get the win. So I didn't see credits in that, unfortunately. It's a really tough game, and you have to get into a rhythm when you're playing it. So it was a lot of work, and I just hit like a weird. I guess like I was just fueled by NyQuil one night, and just was able to just like get as far as I've ever gotten in that game. No idea how I did it, and don't know if I could ever recreate it. Then I also picked up a game on the Switch called Super Blood Hockey, which is a 16-bit...
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's a 16-bit hockey game. It's four v four, one goalie each. There are five v five at that point. Jesus. I'm six still. It's super simple, and it's over-the-top violent. Like, all you have is a check, a shoot, a pass, a switch player. Those are your only controls. And every time you check someone, they end up splurting a bunch of blood out. And you can severely injure the other team. If a fight breaks out, you fist fight a little bit.
Nintendo allowed this game on their system?
Yeah, they did. And that's not even the most fucked up part.
I'm just fascinated you're playing a sports game.
It was super gory, and I like the old Sega Genesis hockey games. Like
that. Yeah.
When you win a fight, you disable one of the other people on the team, either with a long term injury or a short term injury, which then means you'll play the game, you know, with uneven numbers. So you almost want to start a couple fights just to take out as many people as possible.
I gotta get a Switch, man.
Yeah. It does have, surprisingly, it has like a franchise mode. The story is, you're a coach that sold his kidney to get money for a franchise. And you basically use the money that they gave you for your kidney, to buy prisoners to fill out your team. So you have a bunch of, prisoners that you're managing. You gotta manage their diet, their workout regimen. Keep them healthy, make sure their brain damage is as low as you can possibly keep it, because their brain damage will affect how they play. So you have to make sure, like, okay, you're not working out, you're just going to hit the showers, and they'll go shower, and they'll help with their brain damage. You have to make sure you give people days off. It's actually a pretty, like, fun, simple simulator, and then the actual hockey gameplay is, it's fun, it's easy, it's, like, easy to learn. It can be kind of difficult, here and there, but I've been having pretty good time. I think I've played, like, in the franchise, I'm, like, 4-1. So I'm having a good time with it, and I like doing the weird management stuff. There are steroids and weed in the game I can give my players, but I haven't figured out how to do that. Like, there's an option in the menu, but all the drugs that I could give players is just locked out right now, so I'm hoping to unlock drugs eventually. And see what that does to players. But it's a weird game. But I've been playing the hell out of that lately. The Switch has come in handy being sick, you know. When I could move from bed or get off the couch, just having the Switch in portable mode has been like really, really helpful. And then we finished Dragon Age Inquisition last week, so Sarah started to play The Witcher 3, so because I haven't been able to play any games, I've just been watching her play The Witcher 3, which she's enjoying. I forgot that the gameplay in that is a little annoying. Sometimes the combat doesn't feel like it's hitting as well as it should. Like, you'll have hits that it just looks like there's no oomph behind. You know, just not making contact.
The game came out on the PS3?
No, PS4. No. It was okay. 2015, 2016.
Okay.
And so getting over, you know, some of that stuff, or watching her get over some of the weird combat stuff, I've just been enjoying watching a game, watching her go through missions that I completely forgot. The game was huge. I reviewed it, and it was one of those things where I only had like 10 days to get through as much of the game as possible to hit a review embargo. So I missed a lot of little side quests as I was just, like, running through the main story. So it's been good watching her, who plays it very meticulous and takes her time. And it's basically just going to every question mark on the map and seeing all the different missions that I am seeing for the first time. So just basically been watching her play The Witcher like every night for like 1 or 2 hours while I've just been like drugged up on NyQuil trying to like not die. So that's been fun to watch. We're in season 4 of Buffy. So that's still going. I watched John Mulaney's Sack Lunch Bunch on Netflix. John Mulaney, stand-up comedian. He has a weird, like, his version of a kid's show. It's super dark, which you would expect from a comedian. But not crazy, crazy dark, but it's a weird thing of just like, okay, what if an adult comedian made a kid show from like his childhood, and it has a bunch of special guests, like Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, Natasha Lyonne is in it. It was really fun. I was just completely mesmerized by that earlier, and hope like they make more of it. I think it was just a one and done. It was probably a one and done, but I love John Mulaney's stand up specials and seeing this weird movie show thing that he made was great. And I hope Netflix keeps giving John Mulaney money so he can produce all the weird shit he wants. But that was it for me. So not a ton of stuff because I'm sick. I was hoping to start Judgment because I took a couple days off in a row. And I was like, this is the week I start Judgment. I have 3 days off. I'm going to do that. And then I got sick. And no way I could have focused on any story-based games or control of story-based games, at least, this week. So hopefully I have a little bit of time going next week. And hopefully I'll be a little bit healthier. But that is it for me.
All right. Let's see. So we can go right into the community stuff where we answer your questions using hashtag AskDigitalDays. We also have a channel in Discord where you can leave your questions. And I'm working on probably just making a pinned tweet, or not a pinned tweet, but a pinned post in the Facebook group where we'll keep track of all that stuff. So Raider 8101, or no, I'm sorry. Raider bid 81. Got that date smashed right up next to it there on me, Michael. So Last of Us 2 right around the corner. What would you guys like to see from Naughty Dog next? Something Uncharted related or something new? Something new. Like, I think that Uncharted is at the point now where they've built a big enough foundation for that they can just push that over to another studio.
Yeah, I would rather see something new from them. Obviously, we haven't played Last of Us Part 2, but I would assume, just like Last of Us 1, I'll be satisfied with what happens there. If they want to immediately go into a Last of Us 3, okay, I think I would be less excited of that. I'm less excited of an idea of them following up Last of Us 2 with Last of Us 3, but I haven't played Last of Us 2 yet. I would be fine if there's never an Uncharted game ever again, just because I was satisfied with how Uncharted 4 ended, that I don't need more adventures from that franchise. So I would rather see Naughty Dog do something new. Or just go back to like Jak and Dexter or something. But other than that, I would just rather them see something new as opposed to rebooting Uncharted or doing an Uncharted spin-off series, unless it's the Sully one that I want. But other than that, I just want to see them do something completely new. Because they have so many talented people that probably have amazing stories to tell.
All right. Ali Sean sends in on Twitter. I forgot to ask this last time, but are there any games that you feel went under the radar in the previous decade? For me, it was Sleeping Dogs. To me, it was the GTA competitor, but it didn't make a big enough impact. It's pretty tough. I mean, I think that like Spec Ops: The Line was a really, really good game that I think over time, like, some more people found out about 3D.GameHeroes. For me, was a really good game on PS3 that I don't really hear a lot of people talking about. But, you know, like, just a, like, an under-the-radar kind of thing, I'm not really sure. And I feel like it's even harder for a game to be under the radar now in 2020, just with the way that social media works and Twitch and everything, and YouTube.
Yeah, you actually picked some good games. Was Spec Ops the line in the last decade? Regardless if it was or wasn't, that was one that I didn't expect to love that game. And it got some praise here and there once people, you know, like, shared how that game plays out. But it definitely didn't get all the love it deserved. It's one of those games that I've been thinking of going back to. I just haven't had time to. It's in the list of games I want to go back to. Because it was a PS Plus game, so I know I have it on the PS3 because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping Dogs, definitely agree with him. Sleeping Dogs is a fantastic game. I know they were going to make a sequel for that, but the studio got into some financial issues, so I'm assuming that this died at that point. There's still stuff that I wanted Sony to make that they never did in the last decade. You know, I still wanted, like, a Mortar Storm or a new proper Wipeout, just because Wipeout HD is one of my favorite games. I know we got the remastered on PS4, but a new Wipeout would have been something that would have been fantastic.
Is that game you saw at E3 out yet? It's like,
Pacer?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is. Okay. I forgot about that game, but yeah, I don't believe it's out. If it is, it isn't out on PS4, because I would have bought that day one, because that was definitely Wipeout inspired. Let us know in the community on, like, the Facebook group or on Twitter, just, like, games you thought were underappreciated. Because the problem is, with a question like this, is if it's underappreciated or went under the radar, it might have been forgettable. And, like, I'll probably think of a bunch throughout the week of, like, ah, shit, I should have said this.
Yeah, I mean, I think a game like Watch Dogs, the first Watch Dogs, fell into not necessarily under the radar, but, like, underperformed, but then when the sequel came out, people got a better understanding of the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that, you know, kind of got a little bit of praise, and then now with Watch Dogs Legion on the horizon, then, you know, it's building some more hype around things, just like The Witcher's getting a resurgence with the movie and with the television show on Netflix, and then it's great marketing right around this point. Oh, if you really like that game, then you're going to like this one, you know.
Yeah.
So just, keep, you know, how you keep things, like, on or off a radar. Like, you know, so games that have fallen off the radar for me that I wanted to play, like with the Epic Game Store, like, I've heard great things about Celeste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now I get a chance to check it out. So we'll just have to see. But, yeah, please, you know, send us more questions, guys. Like, post them on Facebook, post them on Twitter, hashtag AskDigitalDays, post them in our Discord. And, you know, hopefully we can answer them. They don't have to only be gaming related if you want to know more things about us. Like Spotlight, with it being like early January, it's getting kind of, at least for me, it's harder and harder for me to find something that I think that I really want to spotlight. I don't know. I know you've been kind of under the weather. So is there anything that you've been paying attention to?
Just Super Blood Hockey. Look that up. That is my new obsession right now. So that I will spotlight Super Blood Hockey.
Maybe you're feeling better. You can test your Switch streaming ability.
Yeah, I was thinking of possibly trying to do that tomorrow, but we'll see how that goes. It's all dependent on how I feel
in terms of health. Yeah, I get it. So, all right. So again, social media. So Twitter, you can just follow the main Twitter page, which is at Digital Days Pod. Facebook.com/DigitalDaysGaming. Michael's Twitter is at @TheFirstMJC. Mine is at @GoodDaveHunt. And again, we have the Patreon page, so Patreon.com/DigitalDaysGaming.
the $1 tip jar, the $3 Discord access, $5 is 24-hour early access to the podcast, and then $7 is bonus content. So thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys are continuing to humble both of us, and it's so cool to see people that want to support us and help grow that stuff. So hopefully that those things can help us if we go to E3 or if we go to a PAX or if we get a chance to go to an event. That's where a lot of those funds will come from. And again, just Twitch, following us on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming. And if you can are so kind or feel inclined to share a sub with us, whether it's a paid sub or your Twitch Prime sub, that would be appreciated. And again, a ton of you have done that already, so thank you guys so much. With your Twitch Prime sub or any Twitch sub for that matter, you also get access to the Discord channel as well. And that is done by linking your Twitch account to your Discord account. Michael.
Yeah.
And it will grant you automatic access to that channel. It's a bot that takes care of that as well, and the Patreon bot should do it as well too. When you subscribe to the $3 one, you should get an invite to the Discord channel, and the bot should give you a role that gives you access to the supporter channel. If it does not, just message me and on Discord or however multiple different ways you guys can get a hold of me, and we will take care of that. So again, thank you so much to the people that have supported us on Twitch and supported us on Patreon. And for those of you that are just listening, again, you're listening to the show is a great way to help us. Please just share the show. Just continue to share it. We want to focus on growing the podcast, and the easiest way to grow the podcast is to get more people to hear it. And the only way to get more people to hear it is to share it, subscribe to it, leave a review, all that fun stuff. Your apps, your podcast app that you're listening to on the phone probably has a button you can press that says share, and it'll give you the option to share on Facebook or Twitter, whatever account you have linked, and it'll just share that you're listening to it. And maybe somebody on your social media feed will see it and want to check it out. But other than that, that is all that I have for this week. Do you have anything else?
Nope. Hopefully I'm a little bit healthier next week.
Yeah. A little bit of a shorter show. Both of us have been a little bit under the weather, and it is still January, so there's not a whole lot going on as companies are just coming back. And obviously we had a lot to talk about today with the E3 stuff, but we haven't really been able to play a whole lot. But again, just let us know if there's things that you guys want us to check out. If you want us to stream something, just, you know, communicate with us. We love to interact with you guys. It's fun. You know, Michael puts those things up, like, what are you playing this weekend? Just seeing what people are doing. And then also, I think Andy was, like, playing Madden and, like, making Cuban food. So, it's always kind of cool just to see a little bit of that stuff. And you can mess with Michael about, you know, thinking that you're making cookies with grandma or something.
Hey, man, listen, he said Ava could have been his daughter. Like, I was like, oh, cool. He's making cookies with his daughter. Nah, it's a fucking Destiny thing.
It's better that it was. Does it make you feel better that it wasn't a Destiny Gambit thing, since it's not your Gambit?
No. No, that doesn't. I'm done.
All right, everyone. Have a great week. Talk to you guys later.
See ya.